You know, we're talking about the God questions. We started out, is God real? If you don't get a hold of the fact that God's real, you'll have a hard time getting a hold of anything else. The second question was, is the Bible true? If you can't get a hold of the fact that this Bible is the true, infallible Word of God, that is absolute truth, there is no lie, no mistake, no errancy in it whatsoever, if you can't get a hold of that, you're going to struggle. Today, we're going to answer the question, do all roads lead to heaven? You know, because you talk to so many people, and think about this, the arrogance of Jesus Christ to say that He is the only way to heaven. That's an arrogant statement. Right? Would you not agree? How many would agree? That's pretty arrogant, right? Look, my way is the only way, or else you can hit the highway, right? Is that... It's interesting because I'm looking around at faces and some going, "You, they're arrogant." And I'm looking at others going, "No, that's truth." It's interesting the facial expressions that I'm seeing. And some just sitting there going, like, "I'm waiting on you to explain it, Pastor. Just go ahead and start talking about it." But it's interesting that Jesus says, and He's the only one that makes that statement, by the way. He says He is the only way to heaven. Look up John 14:6. This is going to be our text for the day. John 14:6. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, for me, I don't have a problem with that verse. For me, I don't have a problem with Jesus saying, "I am the only way, and it is my way or the highway." And you don't have to like it, but let me tell you something. If you don't accept it, you're done. You have one alternative. Your alternative is to receive Christ as your Savior and to believe this. That's your only alternative. And you say, "No, I have two alternatives." No, you don't. You have one. Because the other alternative that you're thinking of is an automatic. It's not even an alternative. It's not like you have another choice. You either choose heaven and you choose Christ, or just stay where you're at, which is on the road to destruction. It's on the road to hell. It is. Because, you know, we are born sinners, so therefore we're born into our father is the devil. You go, "I don't like that." I know, man. Listen, I asked God to literally, I've been begging God to impute peace of mind and heart in each and every one of you that are sitting here, because I don't know your heart. And some of you, you're going to nod your head and agree with everything I say. And some of you are going to bow up. And some of you are going to go, "I'm not going back there." And I'm going to pray that God just grabs hold of your heart, shakes you a little bit, and then brings you back. Some of you are going to get mad at me today. And I understand that. But it does not negate my responsibility to preach the truth. Okay? Listen, I'd rather have a guy tell me everything that's the truth, whether I want to hear it or not, than to have a guy lie to me, give me false pretenses, and then set me up for failure. Okay? I'm not going to set you up for failure. You may not like the road of success I give you, but I'm not going to set you up for failure. All right, we're going to be in this today, and again, you're going to feel like you're in a classroom. You're not going to feel like a whole lot of preaching is going on, because there's going to be a whole lot of teaching going on. There's going to be a whole lot of information going on here. But you have to get it. You have to understand the differences between all the religions. And so what we're going to talk about today is the top 10 religions. And in the top 10 religions, to understand that several of them have been grouped up because they either have the same belief, it's just maybe a different area, or you know, they're all pretty much the grouping has the same idea, and so they've been put together. But what we're going to be talking about today is going to cover 98% of all religions today in the world, on this planet. The other 2% are so immaterial, we're not even going to discuss them. Okay? Because they're really that immaterial. They really don't matter. And so we're going to talk about the narrow, egotistical, narrow-minded statement Jesus made. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. No, that word man in the Greek literally means human. No human will ever get to heaven except through me. That's what Jesus says. And so when you process that information, that's a heavy load, because then not only does that make Jesus look arrogant, but it makes me kind of look arrogant to say that my God is the only God to heaven. Right? It kind of makes me look arrogant too. But I can say that boldly because that is absolutely, not because I believe it, but because it's the truth. And as we unfold these, you will see an incredible difference that between Christ and the other religions. As a matter of fact, there are several places and several times where Jesus says that he's the only way throughout Scripture. Matthew 7:13-14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." It's not because only a few find it because God hides the door, you know, like it's a secret entrance. You guys were coming up on Halloween. Excuse me. And you've seen haunted houses, right? Where you, if somebody leans against the wall, and next thing you know, it opens up, and they go on the other side, and they're going, "Where am I at?" You know, it's not like God hid the entrance to heaven. He's made it very clear. You know, it's not a secret staircase or a secret cave up in the mountains, and you got to get your compass out and become incredible hikers to find this. God didn't do that. When he said narrows the way, he said narrows the way because people are so proud and arrogant and so full of themselves that they think they can do it on their own, and that's why it's narrow. Because only a few are going to go, "Wow, I can't do this on my own. Wow, I can't do the good works and earn the way." I love that. There's certain quotes that are mine. They originated with me. They're mine. I love them and I use them. And I put them on Facebook. And if you want on my Facebook page, just let me know. And I'll be more than happy to accept you as a friend and put you on there. But the thing is good is good enough, or if good gets you to heaven, how good is good enough, and by whose standard? And see, all these other religions, as we unfold them, you're going to see a lot of similarities in them. In all nine, and then there's one that's going to be different, and it just seems so arrogant again. But, so let's get in this, and we're going to look at it, okay? Because, and I'm going to do a lot of reading, because I'll never get through it if I don't do that, and you won't get your answers. Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And what's the name? Jesus. I need a better response than that. What was the name?
Jesus.
You said that like you believed it. Come on, guy. Okay, what was the name?
Jesus.
Jesus. Man. Wake up! All right, here we go. And again, I understand for some that that can be an offensive statement, but you'll see. So we're going to explore the top 10 roads that people say lead to heaven. Again, it makes up 98% of what people believe, literally, on the planet. And so by the time we get done this morning, it's going to answer the question, is Jesus really the only way to God? Is Muhammad the way? Is Buddha the way? Confucius, or the other gurus, or little g gods the way? And we're going to find this out as we unfold the information this morning. And also, write this down, and you guys can go study this out, so that you don't think I'm crazy and I'm just one-minded here. If you go to adherence.com, that is A-D-H-E-R-E-N-T adherence.com. Adherence.com. And you can explore these religions to your heart's content, okay? I just had to bring it and compact it for about 40 minutes, okay? 45 minutes. And if I go a little late, it won't be nothing unusual. And once again, I'll ask for forgiveness. I really don't mean to go late, but sometimes it happens that way. And I've got 23 pages here, so I better get busy. Okay, some of you are going, really? I'm never coming back. So we're going to break it down. The top seven groupings make up the religious beliefs of 97% of humanity, including all those who think of themselves as not religious. And then you'll see that's actually number four, and we'll get to that later on the top ten. Okay. We're going to start with the top ten. So here's number ten. It's actually pronounced Jujay. Jujay, okay? I tried to put the pronunciation in there for you. It took us a little while to figure out how to put the letter or the little line over the letter A, but my wife did good, didn't she? So it's Jujay, and there is, it's literally self-reliance, and there's 19 million followers. That mostly North Koreans. I say mostly, it is North Koreans. Kim Il-sung, he is the one who created this. And it, so they've actually have another name for it. It's Kim Il-sungism. Kim Il-sung, yeah, that. All right. I hope my tongue starts working right because there's a lot of crazy names in here, okay? He is the one that created this or invented this religion. It is mandated by him, who's the first communist dictator in North Korea, and he came into power in the 1950s. And there are roughly 19 million that are following this, and it's the only government-authorized ideology in the country. So people don't really have a choice. You follow Jujay or you pay the price. And, of course, it means self-reliance. And as promoters describe Jujay as a secular ethical philosophy and not a religion, but from the sociological viewpoint, it's been considered a religion. So that's why it's in here. And it literally is it's a Korean blending of Marxist communist thought. Now that's what Jujay is. Marxist communist thought. It's a blending of all this philosophy. And so and I don't know if you guys realize, but our government is leaning in that direction of Marxist communist thought. And I know that's where some of you go, "You're crazy, Pastor. Not our government. This is America." Watch the news. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that socialism is rapidly heading toward our country. So it has more followers than Judaism, and with the 19 million, let's see, there's 16 million adherents, Spiritism, with 15 million Mormonism and Jehovah Witnesses. There's 15 million Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses, and because those two have about six or seven each. Jujayism makes no claims about heaven, has no description of how to get there, and generates no belief that there's life after death. Okay, so that's Jujay. All right, nothing to do with heaven, no way of how to get there, it doesn't tell you how to get there. The next one, number nine, Sikhism, is pronounced Sikhism. There's 23 million followers. The founder of it was Guru Nanak. It is, and it was founded in 1469, and their view of God is monotheism. So they believe in one God. It's monotheism, and but then here's the thing: the means to God. Now this is Sikhism. They believe in one God. Now here's the means to God, okay? They follow the five K's. The five K's. Now, the five K's, I believe you already have listed on your sheet. And one is the kesa, and that means long hair. So you have to have long hair. The kanga is the comb. You have to have a comb. Why? Because you have to comb your long hair. Do you guys see the humor that I'm seeing in this? I'm sorry. We shouldn't. Okay. The kacha is short pants, and the kachu is a metal bracelet, and the kirpan is a weapon or a sword. And so their means to God is to have all of this stuff. You should have been studying this out, because it was really some of it. When I was studying out, I'm going, there's no way this is for real. But it is for real. But what's even more amazing to me about it is the fact that there's 23 million followers. 23 million followers here. The Sikh is what it's called, but it's spelled S-I-K-H. The Sikh religion is a hybrid of Hinduism and Islam. Its founder was a man named Nanak, who, after enduring years of violence between the Muslims and the Hindus in his area, disappeared. Now listen. Disappeared while bathing in a stream and emerged from seclusion 3 days later to proclaim a revelation he'd had. His revelation, there is no Hindu, there is no Muslim. And so his the solution to the problem of warring of the Hindus and Muslims was to adopt monotheism and of the Muslims and concepts of karma and reincarnation from the Hindus. So the Sikhs are monotheists, and they believe that in order to escape the endless wandering of the soul that happens as reincarnation follows, reincarnation follows reincarnation. It just goes on and on. And of course, a devout Sikh can practice the five Ks, which is, we talked about, long hair, comb, short pants, metal bracelet, and weapon or sword. And I really don't understand what that has to do with eternity. I mean, except for, I know that there are some religions that they have the dreadlocks, and they let them grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And I mean, they'll grow really long. They never cut them, and they leave them in dreadlocks. And the reason that they do that is so that, and I think this might be part of that religion. And what happens is they believe that God will swing down and grab them, and they have a better chance if they have the long hair for him to get a hold of that to hold on to them with. And that way he'll swing down, get their long dreadlocks. I really have to be serious, because this is online and I don't want to offend too many. And so I should have said none, right? And so anyway, that's what they believe. They're going to swing down, get them by the dreadlocks, and that's what God holds on to them with and pulls them up into heaven. And so I know that there are religions that do that. So there are 23 million Sikhs, most of them living in the Indian state of Punjab, and some have migrated to the UK, Canada, the US, Malaysia, and Singapore. That's where you'll find most of them. Okay, the eighth largest religion is actually a group of religions. Remember I told you earlier that some have been grouped together, and this is a group of religions. They are called African Tradition Religions. There is 100 million followers. 100 million followers. And of course, it's in Africa and places where Africans were enslaved. It's between its various tribe and offshoots and Western Hemisphere adaptations. There's approximately 95 million people who practice this form of animism. And of course, animism, I've heard this saying, and I believe it, humans are nothing but animated dirt balls. And we are. How many men have ever worn a white shirt with a tie? You've gotten really hot. You started sweating. You get home. You take the white shirt off, and you go, "Honey, I thought this was clean." And she says, "It was, but you're an animated dirt ball, and you got it dirty, right? Because the dirt comes from the neck on you. You guys seen this? Where does that dirt come from? Wait a minute. I don't play in the dirt. I don't have a dirty job. I take a shower every night, and I scrub really good. Where does this dirt come from?" Man, we consist of dirt, guys. And you go, "No, we don't." Yes, you do. Read your Bible. I don't believe it's true. That'll change. Hold on. Okay. So, at any rate, they have animism. Animism is a spiritual belief that all creation, now listen, that all creation is animated, that all of creation, plants and animals and rocks and rivers and even sand and soil, has animation or life within it. So everything is alive, everything has life, everything is animated. Now to you and I, a rock would be dead. But to them, a rock has life, a rock has a soul. Everything has life. Nothing to them is dead. So that is animism, and that's what they believe. And so their view of God is that there are many gods. There are gods inhabiting every rock and tree, the sky, the moon, the sun, God. I mean, they listen. God, everything is God. Well, if everything is God, what are we? God. I have a little bit of a problem with this. And so their view of God is animism and or slash, however you want to do it, polytheism. Polytheism literally means many. Poly is many. Theism, God. Many gods. Okay? And so you guys have read in where they used to have sacrifices to these many gods. How many have ever read that? They used to sacrifice to many gods. And that's what they used to do. And in the ancient cultures, they would sacrifice their children. They would have babies, something bad was coming on the tribe or into the family, and so they'd have this huge fire, and they would take their baby, and they would go up, and they would throw their baby into the fire and sacrifice their baby to the gods. Because they knew that if they gave a life, God would see fit to smile on them and take the curse off of their tribe or take the curse off of their family or take the curse off of the person. So they figured that the reason the curse was there is the gods were angry and they were going to sacrifice to the gods and get the anger of the gods straightened out by giving their child. And so literally people would line up, literally guys, they would line up and throw their newborn babies or their two-year-old babies in these fires and sacrifice them to the gods. Then as time went on, they valued life a little bit more. Whatever happened, things changed, or however it changed, then they would start sacrificing animals to their gods. And so as time went on, that's what they did. And of course, that right there was... the key for them is living a life that pleases the gods. But here's the struggle that I have with that, guys. And I'm just going to throw this out there. And again, I know this is a lot of information, and I'm covering it quickly. I appreciate you guys keeping up with me. And you're going, "Well, you know, church is supposed to be preaching." But what's preaching? Preaching is telling the truth. Right? And so that's what I'm trying to get to you guys as absolute truth. And so... The thing is, their goal, and let me tell you, as this unfolds, you'll see that there's a pattern here. That people, the object is living a life that pleases God. But they have no map, they have no guideline, they have no form of direction that tells them what's pleasing to their gods. You know, we're going to throw babies into the fire. This will please God. It doesn't please their gods. Okay, then we switch over to animals. This pleases gods. It doesn't please their gods. What are we going to sacrifice next? What are we going to do next? How are we going to figure out what pleases our gods? And so they're willing to do whatever it takes to figure out what pleases their gods. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? It is left up to you to figure out what's going to make a rock happy. I'll tell you what's going to make a rock happy. Leave it alone. It don't care. Covered up with dirt. It'll never know. It's not alive. But to them, see, you see the craziness in thought sometimes with this stuff? And people get hung up in religions. People get hung up in what they believe. And as we're going through this, I want you to see, how many times have you ever been adamant that you were right about something? I mean, adamant, just over the top adamant, and then you found out you were wrong. Anybody? Yeah, absolutely, man. We're pushing the limit. We're like, no, I am right, and I'm going to prove it to you, and look, it's right here, and I'm just... I'm sorry. Right? We've done this. We've all done this before. And guys, what happens is we get caught up because we're so convinced that it's right. And you take somebody that is charismatic. And what I mean by that is man, they're like a magnet. That can draw you to them. You've met some people that are like that. Man, they just draw you right to them. And all of a sudden, you get hung up in their world of lies. Because they're so convincing. And I believe that's what happens a lot here. And it just draws people in and draws people in and draws people in. And it draws them right into their doomed destiny. And I think that's what happens with a lot of these. Living a life that pleases the gods, but they don't know what pleases the gods. Number 7, primal indigenous. Now, indigenous is literally, it's just being native to that area, originating in a particular area, a particular region. And so that's what indigenous means. That's the number 7 religion. There are 300 million followers. And their views are very similar to number 8, which we're going to get to. This group of religions is mostly animist, who still live on the fringes of literate society. Their beliefs are fairly similar to African traditional religions, and so they've just been broken up mainly because of their ethnicities. Okay, number 6. Buddhism. Now, we've heard a lot about Buddhism, but how many really know what Buddhism is? Yeah, see, we get caught up in a lot of stuff where we hear things, but we've never taken the time to understand what it is. So when we say Jesus Christ is the only way, and they say, no way, Buddhism is, you don't know the difference to take a stand. Hopefully today you'll know the difference and you can take a stand. Buddhism literally is purely education regarding the way of living. That's what Buddhism is. To live a good life, Buddhism was the Indian's flower child. That was probably insulting, wasn't it? It wasn't funny, obviously, because nobody. You know how in the 70s you had the flower child, and they're all about love and peace. And okay, well, Buddhism, Buddha, he was their form of flower child. He might have come over here and had a few doobies, got a few ideas, and went back. I don't know. But this is the way he thinks. And you guys are waking. I'm going to turn the air on, and that'll really wake you guys up, okay? Because you're falling asleep on me. You can't do that. All right. So Buddhism is purely education regarding the way of living. There's 376 million followers. The founder is Siddhartha Gautama. And the view of God is to not be stressed. Everybody do this. Take in a deep breath. Not everybody's doing this. Come on, everybody, take in a deep breath. Let it out. Okay, for those of you who didn't participate, I've got your name. You will be written up. And so, it's not be stressed. How many ever have seen Family Matters? Right, I love Family Matters. And Carl was stressed out one time. And so his wife, Harriet, forces him to go to the doctors. And so he doesn't want to, so finally he goes to the doctors, and the doctor gives him all this, you know, you got to go on a diet because Carl is a little overweight, and you got to do this, you got to do that. He's a police officer, so stress is automatic in his life. And so he's sitting in the waiting room, and he finds this little brochure. Well, the doctor tells him all these things to do, and he goes home, and he doesn't do any of them. He's hiding them from his wife, and she asked him, well, what, because he'd get mad at Steve Urkel and said, well, what did he tell you to do? Well, here's what Carl would do. He'd go, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. What in the heck is bothering me? All right. 1, 2, 3, I can't even get it right. 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. What the heck is bothering me? And he'd do this until he calmed down. Well, then eventually it didn't work. He passes out, realizes he's really got to do it the right way. Lose weight, go on a diet, but that's the view of God, is to not, Buddha's view is to not be stressed. So I wonder how many walking around going, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, I don't know. But here's the thing. Siddhartha, who created this, he was raised in a high caste Hindu family. When I say high caste, that means upper echelon, rich. And so as part of the leisure class or their time, they had plenty of time to meditate and think. And I love how they wrote this. At a certain point in his life, he became convinced that Hinduism did not hold the secrets to a satisfying life. So he secluded himself under a fig tree for 40 days and nights and meditated on the nature of life. This is what he did. Now, in the process, here's what he realized. The means to God, there's four noble truths, okay? And these four noble truths are the keys to enlightenment. Life is about suffering. Cravings is the root cause of suffering. The cure for suffering is to eliminate craving. To eliminate craving, you have to follow the Eightfold Path. Okay, so he's got the four rules down. Now we got to go to eight. That's really what he's saying. So the four noble truths is, life is about suffering. Craving is the root cause of suffering. The cure for suffering is to eliminate craving. And to eliminate craving, you got to follow eight more rules. Got to be a busybody here. Now, here's the eight rules. You got to have the right views, which is chiefly embracing the four noble truths. Then you got to have the right resolve, being committed to renouncing all the pleasures of the senses so that you can detach yourself from the world and learn to crave less and less. Some people are looking at me like, are you serious? Yes. You got to have the right speech, no lying, slandering, or cruel words. You have to have the right behavior, no killing any living creatures whatsoever, no stealing, and no sexual misconduct. I just lost most of you right there. You're not interested in Buddhism. The right occupation, seek gainful employment. You have to have the right effort. Strive to rid yourself of all bad qualities and seek human perfection. You have to seek human perfection. Right contemplation. Be alert and observant. And then the right meditation. Think deeply and regularly about detaching yourself from the world and its desires and temptations and entanglements. So once you get the four down, then you go to the eight. You got to get the eight down. You got to live to be perfect. And that is the Buddha system. Okay? Because what you're trying to do, if you're a Buddhist, as you're trying to achieve oneness with the universe. You're trying to achieve oneness with the universe. And then, of course, this was Buddha's system, and so there really isn't a description or, for the most branches of Buddhism, a focus on the afterlife. God and eternity are not discussed. Once again, you're your own God. You determine your destiny. You reach oneness with the universe, and that is Buddhism. Number five, Chinese traditional religion. Followers, there's 394 million followers. And the founder is Lao Tzu, but it's spelled Lao-TSE. But it's pronounced Lao Tzu. I know. crazy. He was probably with Buddha in the 70s. Come up with his own stuff. Their view of God is no particular deity, and it's an impersonal force. An impersonal force. And of course, their means to God is not stressed. It's more of an ethical system than a religious one. More of an ethical system than a religious one. And here's the thing, that it comes more from Confucius and Taoism. Both of them really are just concerned with how to live an honorable life. Just be honorable. Do what's right. Are you a good person? Cool. You're not going to heaven, you just won't be stressed. Right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Right there. And here's the other thing. These cultures that believed this did not have a word for future. Because they were so focused on being the right person, the right way, the right thing for that day, that they didn't even have a word for future because it was worthless to look at. Isn't that amazing? Live for today, do what's right. Hinduism, number four. There's 900 million followers. Mostly in India, holds 14% of the world's population. It was founded in 1800 to 1000 BC. Hinduism does not have a founder, which I found incredibly interesting. There's no founder. It was just a belief of... Here's what it is. It's the largest and most interconnected expression of animism. And of course, animism is the belief that natural objects and the universe possess souls. It developed in India over 800-year period of time from various tribal groups of India, sophisticated and codified their beliefs into fairly uniform religion. That's how Hinduism came about. One uniform force in the universe. That's what they believe. Found that very, very interesting. Hindus believe that this inanimate force, which is God, is in everything and is everything. So their religion holds a view of God that's called pantheism. And of course, pantheum, pan is a Latin word for all. Pantheists believe that God is in all things. Once again, everything's God, and if everything's God, you are God. Therefore, you have to earn your way into the universe, but there's no... Here's what they believe. All of the universe's force, matter, conscious and unconscious energy is being constantly recycled in a great flow called the transmigration of souls or reincarnation. Reincarnation. So guess what, guys? If you mess up today and your life was really bad and you didn't strive to do everything that you could to do right, you might come back as a possum. I don't know. But if you were really good and, man, you did what was right and you were going to be honored, you might come back as a beautiful butterfly that just flutters over the earth and views the beauty. Okay. So their means to God is reincarnation. And through living well at various levels, you can eventually achieve the high caste position. Okay, their view of afterlife is nirvana, or literally, you're just blown away. You just nirvana. You just become one with the universe. There's nothing left of you. You're just kind of blown into the universe, and that's where you exist forever. But now check this out. How long does that take? Somebody asked me. How long does that take? I knew you were curious about how long it takes, so I'm going to tell you. Estimates now. These are just estimates. That way you can't hold anybody accountable if you're wrong, right? Estimates are, it takes about... You ever feel just foolish saying some things? 600,000 lifetimes to achieve this state. 600,000 lifetimes to achieve this nirvana. this oneness with the universe. That is Hinduism. Number three, I'm not even, for sake of time, I'm not even going into the rest of this junk they believe. Some of it's just crazy. Number three, secularism or non-religious, agnostics, atheists, all in a group. There is one, all right, now listen to this, guys. 1.1 billion followers. Secularism, non-religious, agnostics, or atheist. By the way, by definition, it is physically impossible to be an atheist. Because God says in Romans 1:20 that he has instilled, or 18, somewhere around there, 1:18 through 20, that he has instilled the knowledge of himself into every human being. Therefore, it is impossible to be an atheist. Just a little side note. Okay, 1.1 billion followers. Non-religious Westerners, agnostics, atheists, current and formerly communist countries, so on and so forth. 1.1 billion followers. Sociologists point out that there are no truly secular societies. Non-religious people are those who derive their worldview and value system from alternative, secular, cultural, or otherwise non-relevant systems rather than traditional religious systems. If there's that many people, Christians aren't doing their job. 1.1 billion people that we can reach that don't believe in anything. Okay, Islam, number two, which, by the way, let me say this. The number two religion is Islam, but it is rapidly, rapidly becoming number one. Rapidly. I mean, it is growing at an astounding rate. But you know how they're growing it? They're growing it from within. They just have kids. They're like bunnies. It's just, there's kids everywhere. I found out last weekend that bunnies, the cycle of from the time that the mama rabbit gets pregnant to the time bunnies are furballs, 31 days. Good night. It's like, now I fully understand the old, never mind. Okay, so number two is Islam. The followers is 1.3 billion. That's estimates that they have currently. And what happens is because of high birth rates and aggressive proselytizing, it continues to grow rapidly. Man, they have these kids and they're on them. They're on them. They inundate them with their beliefs. You can go ahead and kill the air. They inundate them with their beliefs. They constantly put it in their head. This is it. This is it. This is it. They brainwash them. And so, of course, they grow up. And who do they hate more than anybody? Christians. What a loving, loving religion. Man, makes me want to run out and be one. Okay, the founder is Muhammad, who in 610 AD rebelled against the polytheistic teachings of his local Arab tribesmen and received a revelation that there was only one God. Muhammad believed that one God was the God his friends worshipped as the moon god, a god named Allah. Allah. Now, what I find interesting is that Allah in the Greek means but. It's spelled different, and but is B-U-T. But I thought I'd have some fun with that. I love that Greek word, Allah, in the Greek. Okay, the view of God is monotheism. Here's the problem, though. The wrong God. It's the wrong God. The moon God. Listen, think of it. I want you to think about this just for a second. The moon god. Okay, let's look at the moon. Let's process the moon just for a moment here. The moon is a absolute dead existence. It doesn't even produce its own energy to produce its own light. It has to take the light from the sun. I mean, it can't do nothing. Literally, it reflects. There's nothing about the moon that is alive. And yet they pick the moon god. Do you guys see the kind of insanity in that process? Or am I the only one? Somebody say, you're not alone, Pastor. Thank you. All right. And so it's monotheism. And he taught that his tribesmen that they must become Muslims or submitted ones. Islam means submission, and Muslim means submitted one. Islam means submission, and Muslim means submitted one. So now when you hear somebody say, I am a Muslim, you know they are a submitted one to Allah. The dead moon. Okay. It's just crazy. Listen, people get caught up and follow things, man, and they're passionate about that. And so that's why people go, well, what makes your religion right, John? What makes your God the only God and your only way to heaven? We'll get there. It'll be good, too. All right, so, by the way, Christians and Jews lived in Muhammad's hometown of Mecca, and he grew up hearing about the Bible and chose not to follow or not to believe. And so he taught his followers the only means to God was through following five pillars of Islam. The five pillars of Islam. And some of you guys are like really getting excited about this. I see you're burning your ink pens up. That makes me feel good. Okay. The five pillars of Islam. First, that is their means to God, the five pillars of Islam. And this is what it consists of. Shahada. It's spelled S-H-A-H-A-D-H. I don't think you have it on here. Let me see. No, you don't. Okay, so it's S-H-A-H-A-D-A, Shahada. And it is reciting the Shahada, reciting the Quran. The Salat, S-A-L-A-T, praying five times a day. The third one is the zakat, Z-A-K-A-T, giving to the poor. The fourth one is psalm, S-A-W-M, fasting during the month of Ramadan, which is the month in which Muhammad first received his revelation from God. So that's what they recognize. And they have to fast, and it's called Psalm, S-A-W-M. And then the fifth one is Hajj, H-A-J-J, but it is pronounced H-A-D-J, Hajj, yeah, whatever. And that's pilgrimaging to Mecca. You, by practicing these five actions devoutly and religiously, now listen, by practicing, I mean devoutly and religiously, you might be granted entrance to paradise. Might. But there are no guarantees because Allah is all-powerful and He bows down to no one. So, view of afterlife is paradise. Now, the interesting thing about that, paradise for a Muslim, and ladies, you're going to get a little upset about this. You will, but let's help you through this, okay? Paradise for a Muslim male is similar to the Christian heaven, but there's a few variances, okay? Muhammad grew up in a desert climate. And for him, the perfect place was full of lush gardens with lots of good food. And here's your variance, and beautiful and tantalizing women. Now here is a description, and I'm going to read it, that was taken directly out of the Quran, chapter 55. Now, if you see Surah, it's S-U-R-A, it is pronounced S-O-O-R-A, Surah, that means chapter. That's their word for chapter. So in the Quran, Surah 55, there are bashful virgins whom neither man nor jinni will have touched before. virgins as far as coral, as fair as coral and rubies. And then here's another one, Surah 56. They shall recline on jeweled couches face to face, and there shall wait on them immortal youth with boughs and yours and a cup of purest wine that will neither pain their heads nor take away their reason, with fruits of their own choice and flesh of fowls that they will relish. And theirs shall be the dark-eyed Auris, or Horus, I don't know how to pronounce that, it's H-O-U-R-I-S, chaste as hidden pearls, it's obviously females, a reward for their deeds. So you get the picture for the men. Now, for women, they're not mentioned except for the virgins. So if non-virgin ladies don't get to heaven, what happens to those virgins when they're no longer virgins? Do they get thrown out? There's no mention. It's all about the male. Everything is about the man when it talks about paradise. Then the number one religion. The number one religion today is Christianity. But let me say this. Christianity, if you have Islam and you have Christianity, here's what's happening. Let me have two boys. Come over here with me. Justin, come over here with me. Come on. Alright, so I have Seth and Justin. Come over here. Come on. You guys are great. Awesome. Give them a hand for coming up here. Yes. Okay. Face this way. All right. Now, here's the race. And here's the thing. I hate to do this to you, but you're going to be Islam, okay, just for a little bit. So you said, no, you're going to be Christianity. Okay. Yeah, he don't care, as long as he's something. All right. So here's what happens. Here, you stand right there. Don't move. Okay? All right. Now, this is Islam, and this is Christianity. Okay, start walking slowly that way. And here's what's happening, guys. That's what's happening. Did you see that? And it's happening before our very eyes. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Give them a hand. Yeah. That's what's happening. That is what's happening as we speak today, right now. You are seeing it literally go like this, and all of a sudden, whew. And do you know why that's happening? I'm going to tell you why it's happening. Because the Muslims are sold out for what they believe. Right or wrong? Right or wrong, they are absolutely sold out. The crazy part is, they're going to die and go to hell. As passionate of a being as they are, as much as they love their God, as much as they are willing to die for their God, as much as they are as passionate and sold out as they are, they're passionately and sold out for the wrong thing. And then you have Christianity, who is the real God, and I'm going to get into that, who is the real God, the only way to heaven. By the way, as we unfold this, you're going to notice that our God, the God of the universe, Jesus Christ our Savior, is the only one that says, you don't have to do anything. I love you, and I've come, and I've died for you, and all you got to do is believe in me. My love is sufficient. My love is everything, and your acceptance of my love is your key to heaven. You don't do anything. Nothing. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to follow these crazy four rules and then the eight that follow. You don't have to follow the five. You don't have to live a perfect life. Yes, you're an animated dirt ball, but only you are an animated dirt ball. You don't have to, listen. We have a God that says, I formed you in my image. All these other gods are so far above, and they're all powerful, that I just don't know now if you're going to get in. You might get in if you live a perfect life, but because I'm going to be arrogant and show you my power, you may not get in. Isn't that what these other gods are doing? Or how about these gods that aren't even gods? Nirvana. After 600,000 lifetimes, poof, you're part of the universe. Only if you lived a good enough life. Oh, let's sacrifice our children to a God that doesn't exist so we can try and figure out what's going to make him happy. God says, I didn't leave you guessing anything. I've given you everything. I've given you the book of life right here. Not only is it the book of life on how you can get to heaven, oh, just receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you know what? It's also a roadmap. So that I don't want you lost. I don't want you guessing. I don't want you trying to figure it out on your own. I have all the answers, and here I've given them to you. Oh, that's too easy. That doesn't happen. So let's sacrifice our children and let's just guess about what to do. It takes more faith to believe in all that other junk than what it does to believe in Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing substantial. There's nothing concrete in all these other religions. Nothing. Every other religion was created by a man at a set date and tells you how. We got one guy sitting under a fig tree for 40 days and 40 nights. Where did he get the 40 days and 40 nights from, I wonder? And why was it a fig tree, I wonder? And yet we follow that. Well, what happened before he came up with the great idea? What happened before the man came up with the idea that I'm not going to follow Christianity, I'm going to go this route. How many is going with me? I'll go. Where are we going? I don't know. I'll still go. I like adventure. How insane is that? Christianity. 2 billion followers. Founder, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only. And not only did he say it, but man, he created us, he created the world, and not only did he say it, but he proved he was God. He's the only grave you'll dig up and find nothing. Go dig up Muhammad's grave. Go dig up Buddha's grave. Go dig up Confucius' grave. Go dig up Lao Tzu's grave. Go dig up Nanak's grave, which is another insane guy that created another insane religion that I just left out for sake of time. You'll find nothing. Nothing. You'll find bodies, but you go dig up Jesus Christ's grave and you'll find nothing. Because he's not there. He's risen. Which is the key to showing that he was God. It was the key to show that he conquered death, hell. It was the key to show that he has the power to raise the dead to life. And listen, if he couldn't do it, then we have no hope. But since he did it, we know that we have the hope in a God that cannot lie. Jesus taught that God was one as well. So it was monotheism. Our view of God is monotheism. But the means to God is atonement and substitution. Jesus Christ was the substitution and the atonement for our sins. We have to do nothing but believe. But it's too easy to believe. Or we're too arrogant and too proudful to believe. And we think we can do it on our own. Dude, half of us can't even... And dude, I shouldn't even say dude. Half of us can't even balance our budget. And we're going to get to heaven? We can't quit using a credit card. We can't quit going in debt. We can't quit drinking. We can't quit smoking. We can't quit gambling. We can't quit looking at porn. We can't quit all this other stuff, but we got the power to go to heaven on our own. The insanity to think that a man can do something beyond himself. We can't control anybody else's life. We can't control any vehicle out there except for the one we're driving, and you let a brake line break and you can't control that. Do you understand that we don't have the power that we think we have? We don't have the ability to control the universe. We don't have the ability to move people. They say you can buy a man's back. You can buy his back, but you can't buy his heart. A man persuaded of his will is of the same opinion still. We don't have the control over anybody, not even our children, as much as I would love to think that I could tell my child, do this, and I know it would be done. That would be a great thing, but we don't even have the power over that. A 250-pound man doesn't have the power over a 2-year-old. They controlled his life. And yet we think that we can get to heaven by all these silly works. Guys, was everybody listening to what I was saying? Everybody just say yes and make me feel good. Yeah, okay. Did you notice that from 10 to 2, it was up to you? It was all works. And some of it says, you're going to work your hiney off, and there isn't even a heaven. There isn't even a goal. I talked to a Jehovah Witness when I lived in Missouri. Great guy. Man, I prayed for him. I was going after him like that wildfire in California was going after them homes, man. I was going after him. And every time I'd get him alone, his dad would come... Ding dong, ding dong. Is my son in there? I need my son. Tell him to come home now. And I'm like, there's another one. Opportunity gone. His dad was like, I thought he could see through walls. Because his dad knew when that boy was out of his yard, he was in my yard. And this boy's 23 years old, 24 years old. And so I'm sharing with him. And I said, tell me, man, how do you get to heaven? Well, you don't get to heaven. Well, tell me what you believe. Well, you have to be good and you have to do good. Okay? And he goes, you know, and this is what he said. And my uncle, man, my uncle is just rebellious and he drinks and he does this and he does that. And he went on and on and on about his uncle and how he goes after women and so on and so forth. And he goes, man, I just wish he would stop. And I said, well, what's your advantage for being good? Well, it's just the right thing to do. Well, what's the advantage for being bad or not being good? Is there any difference? Like you go to heaven and he doesn't? Well, no. No, we just both kind of end up in the same place. Well, then I'm going to do what I want to do and I'm going to please my own selfish desires. Hey, listen, if your uncle believes what you believe, he's doing it right. He's enjoying life because when he dies, there's no reward for doing good, so who cares? And so I tried to tell him about Jesus. And I swear, man, Satan had the demons over here, and he had one in the house. And so this demon's listening to our conversation. As soon as I said the name Jesus, that demon went, all right, get the father out here now. He's starting to talk about Jesus. Man, the father would come running out of the house. Son, you need to come in. He's 24 years old. Leave him alone. That's what you want to say, but you couldn't. How the insanity, though, of this thinking that we can do more than we can. It's insanity. Here's the thing that Jesus says. First off, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. Our view of afterlife is heaven. Revelation 21:4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain for the older things, for the old order of things have passed away. Wow! Do you notice the difference? Not only is there a solid heaven, not only do we get there by love, but when we get there, we are loved. Wow! No guessing, no working, and no sacrificing of our children or our dog or cat. So here's my question, guys. Do all roads lead to heaven? You know what? For me, no. The Bible's truth, and God makes it very clear, and He's the only one that loves us there. Everybody else has put it on works. Everything else, we found the beginning of when that religion was created onward. The insanity and how. One man had a vision and duped a lot of people into believing that. So here's what it really comes down to. Do all roads lead to heaven? No. No. Because all these roads, listen, besides one or two of these religions, none of the roads were the same. None of them. And they're all left up to us, with the exception of one. So the question comes down to, do you believe God's love for you? We all believe there's a God, there's a higher power. Which one's your higher power? That's what it comes down to. And if you want to believe that it's everything is up to you, then I want you to look at your life and tell me how well you're doing with it. But if you think God's the higher power and Jesus Christ is the only way, like the Bible says, and He says, I'll love you no matter how bad you are. I just want you to come to me. There are no rules, no stipulations. There's no cost. There's no entry fee. Let's just accept my love. That's the difference, guys, between all other religions. They are religions, and God is a relationship. God says, I love you, and I want to get to know you, and I want you to know me, and I want to have this relationship with you. This father-child, I love you relationship. And all these other religions just say, I want, and you got to do. And there's no promise of anything else. So where are you at today? Everyone stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you were caught up in other religions, and by the way, believing nothing is still a religion by definition. I don't want you to have religion. I don't want you to come to church because it's religious. I don't want you to believe in Jesus Christ because He's my God and my way to heaven. I want you to have a relationship with the Lord and Savior of the world, the entire world. Jesus Christ, when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He meant exactly that. He is the only way to heaven. And so if you're here today and you want to know that when you die, your home is heaven, you have one option. To do nothing is not another option. It is where you already are. To go to heaven and go to hell is not two options. One is a given. You only have one option, and that's to go to heaven. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then He also says, whoever believes in me, his home will be in heaven. If you're here today and you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can change it right now. It's really quite simple. You have to receive the gift that God has extended to you. He said, for I love you so much that I gave you my Son, that if you believe in Him, you will have eternal life in heaven with me. where the streets are made of gold, and the walls that surround the city are made of jewels. Beautiful jewels, rubies, diamonds, sapphires. The gates are pearls. The Bible says that there will be no evil to enter into it. The Bible says heaven is a place where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more weeping. And if you want that, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if that's your desire, you pray this prayer after me, quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I cannot get to heaven on my own. I believe that all these other religions talked about today were created by man who is no more than what I am. But I believe that Jesus Christ, the God, the Son that created everything, that died on the cross for me, I believe He died for my sins. And today, right now, I ask Him to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul. I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And I do not want religion. I want that relationship with Him. If you prayed that prayer today, and you may have prayed it 1,000 times before, but today you prayed it. You prayed it today like you never meant it before. You're going to heaven when you die. And there's nothing that'll change.